It's winter in Washington for working people. Progress is frozen on jobs, cost, and passing anything. It's time for summer. Summer Lee. Summer was born and raised in the Mon Valley.
Irwin, he's just another corporate lawyer. Got paid to side with bosses.
Hello, thank you for joining us this evening. Justice Democrats has been involved in a lot of primaries. We've discussed it, you and I, many times. AOC, Jamal Bowman. Is it fair to say that outside spending against progressive candidates has increased in recent election cycles, especially this one?
That would be absolutely correct. And I would argue that there are.
Hello, I'm Guido Gergenti, and you're listening to Block Party, a show about progressive politicians competitively running for primary elections, taking over the Democratic Party's agenda. Not really, because Joseph Biden is still the president. Today, primary season 2022 continues. This month, Democrats cast ballots in Oregon, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina congressional districts. A mixed bag of results in these left versus establishment contests. In North Carolina, progressive Nita Lam was one of two anti-establishment Democrats who lost their challenges. But in Oregon, conservative Democratic Congressman Kurt Schrader lost his primary to a progressive challenger, Jamie McLeod Skinner. Mr. Schrader voted down drug pricing reform in Congress. He was part of the unbreakable block of nine conservative Democrats who publicly opposed the Build Back Better agenda, wanted to pass bipartisan infrastructure package right away. And he had a super PAC funded by the pharmaceutical industry spending $1 million to save him, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And in Pennsylvania's 12th district, a huge showdown between a grassroots campaign that has the advantage of investment and organizing on the ground that's been happening since 2018, since organizer Summer Lee won a seat in the state house in a state legislative primary, but also a race where big spending from very powerful lobbyists, in this case AIPAC, really changed the dynamic of the race. Or did it? Because Summer Lee still won. So how do we make sense of this? How'd she do it? To get the inside scoop on the strategies and tactics that mattered, we're sitting down again with former pro basketball player and current Justice Democrats campaign manager, Jeff Simpson, for another episode of Campaign Breakdown with Coach Jeff.
Yeah, it wasn't the plan. We went into it with our original look.
You know, we always expect to be outspent, but the way that we're being outspent now is much bigger than it's ever been.
Like, to see 3.3 million in ads come against you.
In the playoffs every year as a coach and, you know, won a championship, got there.
It looks like it is going to be a defeat of corporate super PAC spending and an establishment that consistently tries to buy our elections.
Jeff, how you feeling?
Hey, Guido, I am hyped. This is a huge win for Justice Democrats, for Summer, for the movement. And so I am feeling great.
All right. Feeling great. Probably feeling a little tired.
Exhausted.
You were in Pittsburgh this for the election. Is that right?
Yeah. Have spent the better part of a month in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Let's start with the scoreboard. Summer Lee with 41.8% of the vote. Steve Irwin with 41.2% of the vote. A third candidate, Jerry Dickinson, bringing in almost 11%. And Summer Lee's margin of victory stands at 682, less than 1,000. How does this sit in line with your expectations? I mean, what do you make of these results? What a narrow win. What a close race.
Yeah, very close race. Matched up with my expectations, I really felt like, you know, going into the final weekend, heading into Tuesday, that it was a 50-50 race. Whenever you see $3 million come in spent against you in outside money, that's something that needs to be taken seriously. It's really an unprecedented amount of spending for a congressional primary. This is the type of money you could see in a swing seat, you know, red to blue race, or a Senate seat. You typically don't see this amount of outside money in a primary election. And so we knew it was going to be close. We knew every vote was going to matter.
It's not a Senate race. This is just a House seat.
Yep, yep, exactly. And we knew every vote was going to matter down the stretch, and that's how we campaigned.
This is Pennsylvania's 12th district. It was redrawn. Representative Mike Doyle was representing the Pittsburgh seat before this. It's an open seat that includes all of Allegheny County, including the city of Pittsburgh, and stretches east with all of Moreland County. You got to go on the campaign trail with Summer this spring, both in Pittsburgh and in Braddock. For folks who haven't been to Western PA, Pittsburgh, didn't get to campaign, I mean, what kind of place is Pennsylvania's 12th district in 2022? What did you get to see?
It's a really interesting place. Strong working class roots in Pittsburgh. You know, a lot of America's steel was made in Pittsburgh, but really a microcosm of, you can really see the effect of corporate policies and jobs leaving the city and the surrounding area. You know, driving around Braddock in particular with Summer, it's shocking to see how many blighted homes there are there. There are more blighted homes on many blocks than there are homes that people are actually living in. And it's because at one point in time, there were a lot of good jobs in Pittsburgh and in the Pittsburgh suburbs, and they've really been hollowed out, and those jobs have left the community and many people have been left behind. And so that kind of fit in really well with Summer's message and what Summer's been doing since she first ran for office in 2018, and really speaking for the folks who have been left behind by a lot of the corporate policies we've seen, not just in Pittsburgh, not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country.
Let's jump into the race itself. By the time we get to Election Day, May 17th, one of the defining dynamics is how much outside money has consolidated against Summer Lee. But of course, AIPAC and its affiliated super PACs also have to choose a candidate who's not Summer Lee to consolidate around, and they choose Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin, 35 days before Election Day on April 12th, is 25 points behind Summer Lee, according to an Emily's List poll. Summer Lee at 38%, Steve Irwin at 13% on April 12th. And, you know, if you're not in the district, here's a pitch that you'd hear from Steve Irwin on TV.
I'm Steve Irwin. In Congress, I'll be a doer because we need to do more than make a point. We need to work with President Biden to get things done. That's what I've done my entire life.
All right, all right. Jeff, what's going on with Irwin for Congress that he is so behind Summer just a month out?
Yeah, I think what you see from Steve's campaign is that he's actually a pretty bad candidate. and they didn't run a particularly good campaign. They were lifted up by AIPAC. AIPAC raised a lot of money for Steve directly to his candidacy. And then their super PAC, United Democracy Project, spending over $3 million for him in the final weeks and lifting him up that way. Steve's campaign itself, we did not see them have a strong grassroots presence in terms of a field campaign, knocking doors, making phone calls. They made numerous blunders, whether it was his campaign forging signatures during the petition process. He was a really poor candidate, but he was the candidate that corporate interests got behind, and they spent a ton of money to lift him up. And that's why the race was so close.
Yeah. For folks who weren't following as closely, in March, Steve Irwin was on the record saying, the quote, "The attraction of having a black woman as a congressperson on its face is very attractive, .. I know how she's worked with people. It does not indicate that it would be conducive to getting things done." Right around the time that you're finding some bad signatures on his petitions.
Correct. And Steve Irwin, like, just to be clear, that he's a millionaire. He is a corporate lawyer. He is somebody who works for a law firm that works for the employer side in a lot of employer labor relations work. The difference could not be more significant here in terms of their values, their upbringings, their backgrounds. And it provided a pretty perfect foil for us from a campaign perspective.
Hmm. So after that poll comes out, the race changes suddenly and significantly. Super PACs affiliated with AIPAC, as you mentioned, begin spending quite a bit of money against Summer Lee. As you mentioned, there are some AIPAC bundlers who are already given directly to Steve. Then you also have AIPAC affiliated Super PACs, United for Democracy PAC, spending $2.1 million against Summer Lee. But she still ekes out the win. And, you know, on Twitter, there was some celebration like, hey, you know, Super PAC money, TV ads, maybe doesn't matter as much as we think. We shouldn't get intimidated. You're on the ground. I mean, what does the PA-12 Irwin Lee race tell us about how much outside money, how much a deluge of TV ads in the last month can or can't affect the result? What should left strategists take away from that?
Yeah, it ended up being between APAC and DMFI about 3.3 million spent for Steve and against Summer. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways to look at that, right? The first is, you know, I think when we first saw them spending the money, we're really worried, we're really concerned because we know that that money can make a difference. The second way to look at that spending in terms of a big picture is that the establishment is shook. You know, in 2019, they didn't take these primaries seriously. They are now spending millions of dollars to try to stop our candidates. And that means we are doing something right. And so that's the first point that I want to make. Second, on tactics, clearly everybody saw the poll in April and then how tight the race got. And Summer had a big lead and the race got very tight. The takeaway for us as strategists is TV ads do matter. Negative campaigning can work, even when it's not true. And it's important for us to call out those lies in response. But I, you know, you hear a lot of different takes from different political strategists of, oh, TV doesn't matter. TV's past its time. Mail doesn't matter. Mail's past its time. Mm. You know, everyone has a different take on digital, field, TV, mail. And the biggest takeaway is that all of these things matter. It's all very contextual to the particular race in terms of which tactics are better than other tactics. And the broad takes really aren't that helpful. And so TV mattered in a big way in this race. It helped Steve close that gap. We also were able to use TV to call those APAC Super PAC ads lies. We were able to tell voters across a medium that has broad reach, hey, these ads are not true. And here's what I'm really about. And that was a huge reason why we're able to pull out the victory in the end, was because we were able to respond on TV. We also had a badass field program. We also had an independent expenditure that did mail, digital, TV. We ran a bunch of digital ads ourselves. All of these things matter and are layered in. What we need to learn on the left is that, yes, TV matters, mailers matter, digital matters, field matters, and we need to do them all really, really well if we're going to beat millions of dollars on the other side, spending in every single race we're all in.
And the strategy on the other side, to dig into it more, you know, we're saying these are APAC-affiliated super PACs, but the ads themselves
right.
do not focus on Israel or foreign policy. They don't even say APAC. You know, this is what you will hear on your TV.
She calls herself a Democrat, but Summer Lee said she wanted to dismantle the Democratic Party. Summer Lee, more interested in fighting Democrats than getting results. UDP is responsible for the content of this ad.
And to give an example of how pro-Summer Lee super PACs responded on TV, here is an ad from the Working Families Party National PAC addressing directly this issue that the negative ads caused. Who's the real Democrat? Is Summer really a Democrat?
Who is the real Democrat? Steve Irwin donated to anti-choice Republican Pat Toomey. Summer Lee fights Republicans as a legislator. Irwin takes money from corporations, polluters, and fights for them. Summer fights for us.
If all these things really matter, Jeff, what did Summer Lee for Congress do specifically so well in these last weeks that really helped her stay above water and eke out the win?
Yeah, we were able to move really quickly in talking about the parts of the ad that were just straight up lies and disseminate those talking points throughout the different mediums we were communicating with voters, right? So we were able to put it into our final TV ad as we closed out the campaign. We're able to put it into our digital ads, which ran on Facebook, on YouTube. And we were able to give it to our field team and do serious training with our volunteers about here's how to talk about these ads when they get brought up. And they got brought up a lot on the doors. $3 million in 3 weeks. I don't know that folks can conceptualize in a market like Pittsburgh, it's wall-to-wall ads on people's TV.
Right.
And
Yeah, you're up against the local
correct
Ace Hardware buying out all the spots.
People, you know, we'd knock on a door and say, you know, I'm a volunteer for Summer Lee, and they'd say, oh yeah, I saw that ad about her. I think, is she a Republican? Like, people were asking if Summer was a Republican. Wow. From seeing those ads.
And this is a sitting state representative, a Democrat. I mean, I know people don't know who their state rep is, but just, you know, how misleading the ads are.
Incredibly misleading ads. Our volunteers were prepped to have those conversations and say, and said what you said. Summer's a democratically elected state rep. She's a Democrat. She's been fighting for democratic values. She's a part of our community, has been here her whole life. And, you know, voters are smart. Voters were able to look at it and say, okay, those ads are lies. Like, I'm going to go vote for Summer. Obviously, you know, some people you can't reach on a door, you can't have a direct conversation with, or they didn't watch a TV ad, or, you know, there's faults to all these different ways to communicate on campaigns. But we were able to, you know, push back against the ad very quickly once it was released. And just to say something on what you said, Guido, about how these ads were not about Israel.
It's particularly
interesting to me in ads.
Not even in your own ads.
Correct. When their strategists talked to the media, even after the race, they said this race was so close because Summer was out of touch on the issue of Israel with the voters. The issue of Israel hardly came up with the voters. I mean, we knocked over 60,000 doors. Israel did not come up on very many. They themselves know that it's not a main issue for the voters of the district, and that's why those ads didn't talk about Israel at all.
Right.
And so that's very telling. Like, it's not just about that one issue. It's much bigger than that.
No, it's playing on the partisan identity entirely. It's like, you're a Democrat. It's the Democratic primary. This person's not a Democrat. She wants to fight with Democrats.
And mind you, AIPAC has endorsed over 100 Republicans who voted to not certify the 2020 presidential election results. They supported Republicans who supported the insurrection, essentially. And so this is the group who's litigating who is and isn't a true Democrat after they're supporting anti-choice Republicans and, you know, people who supported the insurrection. It was particularly deceitful when you look at that whole picture, and they're doing it in districts across the country. It's not just Summer's district.
Well, I know Bernie Sanders came to the district, AOC endorsed. There was a rally.
They said them girls can't win here in Western Pennsylvania. They said this isn't the type of place where those type of politics are accepted. And we came in and we took out an establishment and we doubled voter turnout and we sparked a movement that hasn't stopped yet.
Understand, you need to vote for her to tell these super PACs, these billionaires, they cannot buy elections in Pennsylvania or any place else.
Really, really calm Bernie, actually. How do you think the left showed up around PA-12 in general? I mean, obviously, they're some of the superstars there. Bernie comes down for a rally. AOC endorses, but JD's super PAC went up on TV, not under a pseudonym, but, you know, responding to the ads. I mean, do you think there are lessons to be learned, not just from Summer Lee campaigns directly? Of course, we covered that. But also about how progressives and the left collaborated, coordinated, or didn't in PA-12?
Yeah, I do. And I think the biggest lesson we can take away from this is that there is very little margin for error if we are going to get millions of dollars spent against us on the left. And it took the whole left throwing down for Summer in order to get her across the line. And so you mentioned Bernie, you mentioned AOC, the Working Families Party, Congressional Progressive Caucus, and JD, our independent expenditure, spent nearly $1 million. We raised over $80,000 for Summer directly. Our staff here at JD spent countless hours on this race, countless hours on this campaign. And that's what it took, because every single vote mattered. Every single thing that everybody did mattered. And that's what it's going to take in future races. All of us working together to defeat the other side that has an endless bank account. They can spend unlimited amounts of money. And so I think that's an important lesson for us to learn. That's on the positive side. I do think people really threw down here. On the what can we do better, we need to do everything we did earlier. The left needs to get in earlier. Mm. We need to commit earlier in races. The early money is worth so much more than getting money in the last 2 weeks. It allows you to build campaign infrastructure. It allows you to plan out how you're going to spend those dollars talking to voters across the different mediums that are available. We need the left to get in sooner on races and invest early. And that's going to make us more successful at the end of the race when AIPAC comes in with 3 weeks to go and $3 million, we will be more ready for it because we would have built that infrastructure already. And it's not that we were caught off guard in Summer's race, but I think more could have been done early to set ourselves up better to respond to those attacks. And that's why Justice Democrats is set up the way we are, right? Like we're there from day zero. We recruit the candidate, we help launch the campaign, and we don't go away. We are there the whole time helping infrastructure build.
And we don't leave. Maybe that's the motto. It's like you got 60,000 doors to win by 682 votes.
That's right.
Plus everything else. Coach Jeff, thank you so much for another great campaign breakdown. I know you are just landing in San Antonio. There's a runoff. If you are listening to this on the morning of May 24th, there is still time to join the GOTV effort. Get the vote out for Jess Cisneros. Coach, anything you want to say about that runoff? I know you're going into the weekend working on that.
Yeah, obviously, we've been with Jess for over two cycles. This runoff is going to come down to similar margin to Summer's race. Like, it's going to be very, very close. Turning out our vote, our people, is what it's going to come down to. Runoff elections are typically very low turnout affairs. And so folks who can, you know, knock on doors, if you're listening to this in the district, who can make phone calls, who can send text messages. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Tuesday.
Runoff elections are very low turnout. In the March 1st primary, Henry Cuellar got just 667 more votes than Jess Cisneros. A third candidate in that primary got nearly 2,300 votes. But now it's just a two-way runoff. Cisneros versus the last anti-abortion Democrat in the House of Representatives. Every single vote is going to matter. You don't have to live in Texas to join the team and help Jess get across the finish line. The Sunrise Movement is running a Get Out the Vote phone bank. You can go to the URL smvmt.org/Jessica and sign up to call voters in Texas's 28th district during these last precious hours when the polls are still open in this runoff. Go to smvmt.org/Jessica. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on Block Party. Hope you get some rest.
Thanks, Guido.
All right. That's the show. Thank you again to Coach Jeff. Shout out to all of the Summer League for Congress staff, volunteers, grassroots donors. What a win. This episode was produced and mixed by Sophie Kapp, our new extraordinary Block Party producer. See you on the block.